What up, listener? We wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this Blue Wire podcast. Be sure to show your support to this pod by subscribing and dropping a 5-star review on iTunes, a follow on Spotify, or the appropriate dApp for any other platform you might be listening on. And if you're enjoying this show, chances are you'll like one of our 75 other sports podcasts. Find more shows you'll love at BlueWirePods.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it, young boy! Continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. We are back. The Cavs were unable to keep a winning streak going, or start one, I guess I should say, against the New Orleans Pelicans. But Colin Sexton and Kevin Porter Jr. were exciting. With me today to discuss it is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
If that's not our bar for a positive intro, I don't know what is.
You know, we like to keep things optimistic. We like to keep it fun here. And to help us break down everything Cleveland and Cleveland Cavaliers is friend of the podcast, Brittany Mollis, one of the hosts of the That's What B Said podcast, along with Brianna. They make up the two Bs. Brittany, how's it going?
Yes. Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing well. Right off the bat, I'm going to have to grill you here.
Before you grill her, I just want to note that I feel like you wanted to say that's what B shed.
You know what? Nobody's going to confuse me for a great linguist.
No, they won't.
I just go head first through a lot of the ad reads and intros. So, you know what? I made it through.
It's sneaky hard to say, so I'll give you that cop out.
I appreciate that. Brittany, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, God.
Because you are part of the Blue Wire family.
I am.
We even share the same producer in Meredith Kane. And yet,
she produces this?
Well, I mean, she is...
For better or worse.
She is our producer. She is our spiritual aid. She gives us direction and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, she cares a lot more about your podcast, let's be honest. But with all that being said, you are still not a supporter of Sexland. Why are you so anti-Sexland?
Oh, my. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, I hope that Justin doesn't bring that up. I hope he doesn't say Sexland. I hope he doesn't.
It's,
here we
it's
are,
the first
Justin.
Thing.
And here you are also saying it by extension. And we want to be very clear to our listeners who might not be as social media savvy. It's not that you don't support, per se, the pairing of Darius Garland and Colin Sexton on court, though there's a much stronger case to not do that.
Oh my gosh.
It is the name itself that you are opposed to.
Yes, it's the name itself. I'm an avid supporter of the pairing. But the name, here's my issue with it. They are children. Okay?
Okay.
These two, they are children. They don't even know what Sexland is. They've never been there.
They're basketball players. They've known for some time.
Think of the children, guys.
You know, if high school is still the same way it was when I was there.
I've seen a lot of teen dramas, man. Like, I know what's going on. I know what's going on in the streets.
That's Justin dodging, referencing his high school basketball career.
I watch Euphoria. I know what's going on there.
Euphoria, I feel like, exists to scare older people about what kids' lives are like now.
Is that that show on HBO?
Yeah, yes. The one with Zendaya where she's just like shooting up heroin every 6 minutes.
Sex is had it. In that show. But let's...
A lot of dong in that show.
There is. I respect it. I want to jump from Sexland to one of the members of Sexland that has been playing very well lately, which is Colin Sexton. He's really been making the most of the absence of Jordan Clarkson. He's really stepped his game up. And... I had declared earlier in the season that I was going to be part of the Colin Sexton bandwagon. I still have some reservations for...
You said that? You said
this
you were
is such horseshit revisionism.
I did. I will pull back the audio. I will
pull
bring
back a, RG Chess. I'm going to win.
I have reservations for him. But I want to get kind of your thoughts, Brittany, on the season that Colin Sexton is having and whether or not you feel like the growth he has shown this season is a surprise, a disappointment, or if it's kind of still to be determined with him.
As far as he goes, I feel like he's – there's no nice way to say this. So I'm just going to say I think he's a slow learner, okay?
Okay.
I do think that, you know, eventually we'll see real progress in a lot of areas. But if you look at, like, the beginning of last year to right now, I think it's hard to make an argument that he hasn't at least shown some signs of progress, right?
Right. No.
I think absolutely. I think that's definitely fair.
And, yeah, I think some people just take a while. Like, you're not going to see a finished product for years. And I hate that he – the criticism's fair. But as his mother, you know, I feel like I always have to stand in there and defend him because I just feel like some people learn faster than others. And maybe he's just – it's just going to take a while.
I mean, I think that's fair. You know, I do think, like, I remember on a couple pods ago, we were talking about him playing a little bit better as of late. And mm-hmm. I kind of made the general statement that the best thing for Colin is when we're not talking about him, because when he's doing what he does well, it doesn't always engender a lot of, like, oh, Colin's awesome tonight. But, like, it's, like, because, you know, it's volume scoring, it's not a ton of passing even on his best mm-hmm. nights. But, like, he kind of is forced to be that unsung hero. So maybe he does need his mom singing his praises a little bit.
Thank you. Now, I have a question, though.
Yes.
I think it was last week. Chris Fedor, he sent out a tweet. And I didn't know how to take it. I wanted to ask you guys about it. It said something about how Colin Sexton isn't a shooting guard, so stop judging him. Or he isn't a point guard, so stop judging him as such. How did you guys feel about that?
I'm actually really glad you brought that up, because that has been one of my biggest frustrations with this season. Is
you're gonna get us grumpy.
No, I'm not even grumpy. This is actually a great launching off point, because one of
jumping
my biggest
off point
whatever
I was just making a Sunny reference, you jerk. Oh. I thought you would pick that up.
I thought you were making fun of me.
No, when he's
saying a phrase wrong.
No, when Frank's pimping the egg as a Patty's Pub merch. It's a jumping off point.
Yes,
it's fine. Whatever.
But Sexton has had the ball in his hands a ton this season, even more than last season. And the whole he's not a point guard, so you can't really expect him to get assists thing just completely ignores what modern basketball has been. It's also ignored the fact that he's had opportunities to get assists. And one of the things that's really encouraging for me these last 2 weeks is now he's actually starting to read the defense and make the right pass. He's getting those assists. And it's helped his scoring, because he's not getting blocked at the rim as much. It's helped the team play better. And that's one of my frustrations with Sexton, is because he's shown growth in certain areas, but the conversation with him is still kind of stalled on this. Is he a point guard or is he not? Well, that's not really relevant to whether or not he can make kind of those basic and simple reads that would help out both him and the team.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like people who make this argument think that we wouldn't care that he missed wide open cutters and shooters if he were 6'6". And I would still care, I think. So, like, I think that's really my biggest gripe, is, like, we're not asking him to be Chris Paul. We're just asking him to make the open pass. When Chetty's wide open in the corner and he's one pass away and being double teamed, and all he has to do is look and make a pass and doesn't, you know, that's the stuff that I think grinds our gears. You know, like, we're fine with him averaging 4 assists a game. That's like, wow, I'm in heaven if he's at 4 assists a game.
Yeah.
Do you guys think the fans are kind of tough on him though?
Yeah.
I think we've been frustrated at times with him, but, like, to me, the stretches where it seemed like the Cavs could actually get a few wins, that's when he was really struggling the most. So I think that kind of compounded the issues that we were having there.
You know what else it is, though? It's that his bad games are just so obvious. Like you can like Darius has had probably more bad games than Colin this year. And I think mm-hmm. that's pretty mm-hmm. fair to say. But like Darius's bad games tend to manifest in him just completely disappearing. So yeah. you can kind of just like Colin is bad. When he's bad loudly. And like that's just a matter of play style. Like that's yeah. not even like that's not his fault really. It's just the way it is. So he's gonna catch more hell than Darius, even if maybe he doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, I feel like last week was the first time where Garland was actively bad, like
yep,
where he was clearly pressing. Earlier in the year, it was just he would disappear and he wouldn't have an impact on the tenet. Game. Yeah, so it is really, really nice to see Sexton playing well. Like, if you look at the last 20 games, he's averaging 22 points per game, shooting 46% from the floor, 42% from three, and just shy of three assists. Just making the basic reads and kind of finding the trailer, kicking out instead of trying to dunk on three people at the rim. Like, I love his attitude, but the things he has missed at points this season are just so egregious that it can be very frustrating to watch.
Plus, Kevin Love has done him no favors yes. in the PR department.
Very, very true. Brittany, I'd actually like to get your thoughts on Sexton, though, kind of. What do you think the most unfair criticism of him is and the critique you feel is the most fair?
I feel like from the beginning, okay, like, you know, draft day, you know, when he was drafted, 2018,
yeah.
whatever.
2018,
yeah. Yeah, God, 2018, okay. So people had, it was a tough time, right? LeBron had, you know, he was deciding what he wanted to do. Whatever, we all kind of, well, I don't know if
we,
all of us
we knew,
know, but yeah. So I think people had their minds made up on whoever they wanted, okay? And there was only like a very small portion of us who actually wanted them to draft Colin Sexton. I don't, who did you guys want them to draft that year?
I wanted either Mikal Bridges or Shea. Those were okay. my two guys.
Yeah, okay. I think the reason I was out on him was that I think subconsciously I knew that them drafting him and not trading that pick at the 11th mm-hmm. hour, it was like a confirmation in my
that was my draft day meltdown. That was what frustrated me.
It was
on
like,
the
yep,
day.
It's over.
Yeah. So I think from that day, like there was such a small portion of us that were for this from the very beginning that it was going to have to be, he was going to have to be like perfect for people to be like, okay, like this is fine. But if you looked at, you know, what he did in, like, his game and what he did in college, you can see that this was probably going to take a while. I didn't know that it would take as long as it has. But, you know, I feel like the expectations were rough from the beginning. I think that's mm-hmm. why fans are so hard on him even now. So,
I
you know, when they drafted
right
him,
that.
They said, we don't want a point guard who can't shoot. You know, we can't have that. But then he worked on his shooting, and that got better, especially from last year to this year. So I think, you know, and now it's, well, now he can't pass. And I think that he's going to work to improve that. But, you know, he just, we got to give him time. We got to be a little bit more patient with him.
I think it's a smart point about the expectations because, like, he had so much working against him. Not mm-hmm. only is he a style of player that most people on NBA Twitter don't love in the first place. So you already mm-hmm. have that. Then you have him being the primary return in the Kyrie deal. Mm-hmm. So you have that.
And wearing Kyrie's jersey.
And wearing Kyrie's number, which still, please, change your number, Colin.
No.
Yes. We'll argue this. It's going to be awkward when they retire it. And they're going to.
They bet. I don't even want them to do that, honestly.
Ooh, that's a take.
Well, he was really mean to us for a long time, but, you know, I'll forgive him like I always do. But you have that, and then you also have his arrival functionally being the confirmation of LeBron leaving. Like, that's a lot of negative baggage to put on a player.
Yeah, it was a
that
tough
was drafted
spot.
eighth, by the way, not even a premier draft pick.
Yeah.
So I do think he gets an unfair rap. Yeah. But am I going to change? I don't know. I think I'm still going to be kind of hard on him.
That's okay. Baby steps, guys. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help you see the light.
I appreciate that.
This is my job.
I feel like that should almost be the motto for Cleveland sports is baby steps. The Cavs, now that LeBron is gone, are firmly in a rebuild.
One could argue they're bad.
One could argue that.
Who's to say?
And the great news is this draft appears to be historic levels of terrible. So I don't think help is necessarily right around the corner. Mm-hmm. How are you processing this rebuild, though, at least in comparison to other Cleveland teams? Because I think you can give us a bit of a perspective, because not only are you a big fan of every Cleveland sports team, you've also – you're in the area. You're not in another country like myself. And you connect with people when it comes to their thoughts on all of the Cleveland teams and how they rebuild, and you cover them all. So how does this rebuild compare to what the Browns are going through and what the Indians have dealt with in the past?
I feel like with the Cavs, I'm the most gentle with them because of the situation that they were in. It's so hard to have LeBron James and then not have LeBron James, that like as soon as he left, I was like, okay, this is going to be a very long process. These pieces that they put together, you know, around him, everything's going to fall apart. And you know, last year was horrible to watch for most of it, until the end, where, you know, I felt like you finally started seeing a team that they weren't great, but at least they enjoyed being around each other, it seemed. Mm-hmm. And it's you just got to give them time. You got to be patient with them and enjoy the small victories, because that's all you're going to get for probably a long time, is just little things here and there that you can hold on to and be like, yeah, that. But all these, I hope the people are smart enough to realize that this is just, it's a process, and it's not going to happen probably within the next even couple of years. You know, they got to rely heavily on the draft.
Maybe Justin's pretty sure they'll be in the playoffs next year, so don't worry about it.
I was just thinking,
I'm like, I'm sinking in my chair while Brittany and Carter are getting up on me. No, I'm not having that expectation for next season.
I'm a super optimist, especially when it comes to the Cavs, because they need it the most. I feel like I go where I'm needed the most as far as, like, you know, love and attention. So with the Cavs, I really tried to, like, soften this blow. And last year I wrote this really nice article about, you know, I was trying to, like, rally the troops around this team, and everything that happened after LeBron, like, this was the only plan they had. This is the only option they have, is just to do a full rebuild and start over. And I feel bad for them in that way. And, you know, that's why I'm never hard on them. I celebrate all the small wins. Like, that's my job.
Yeah. I wish I had that level of patience. Maybe, maybe I'm just too close. And you do have, like, Brown's misery to, like, is it fair to say you're a little more, if you had to pick a thing to be more diehard about, you'd probably be a little bit more of a diehard Browns person. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
Get to pour your heart and soul into hating one thing.
Well, we're basically trying to get more Cavs talk on That's What B Said. That's what we're really angling for here.
So, listen. I feel like I can be more chill about teams that are, like, my second teams.
Yeah, sure.
And because, like, when you're too close, I think Justin and I are just too close. We need to diversify a bit more, I think.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are much like me and Bree when we talk about, you know, the Browns, where we try to be positive, but, like, also we will, you know, crap on them when they need to be crapped on, because it's the Browns. But yeah, when I, you know, we have that podcast and most of our time is dedicated to the Browns, because I feel like that's what most of our following is. And also, like, Cleveland's just such a football town.
It is definitely a Browns town.
Yeah. 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 I don't even know. I mean, Cleveland fans go to Cavs games now because they're, you know, cheap and they can get floor seats or whatever, and it's fun. But, you know, the passion, that's definitely centered around the Browns, so that's what we cater to. But I am very excited that we will be talking about the Cavs soon, because the season's over, and eventually the Browns are going to run out of storylines. We're not going to have everything to talk about all the time, even though there's joke always some sort of drama.
You. You know that's not true.
But yes, I would like to talk about, I would like to spend more time talking about the Cavs eventually, and I'm sure we will. I'd much rather talk about them than Indians, to be honest.
That's fair. Indians are just straight depressing. They are. They're good.
I know, right?
I'll tune into That's What B Said when there is some Cavs on the rundown, or if there's big Browns news where a coach is fired and whatnot. So I do encourage all of our listeners, because I'm sure our listeners, there's a lot more Browns fans than there are between us two hosts.
Yeah, this is really just our gambit to get into Browns Twitter. I hope you know that.
Yeah.
Wait, are you guys Browns fans?
No, we're not.
No.
But we know that's an untapped market for us, so our ambitions are really being laid bare here.
I will rally the troops for you guys.
I root for the champions here. You know, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I'm all about that. And Carter is unfortunately a Cowboys fan.
I don't want to talk about it.
Carter,
it's not fun. If it makes you feel any better, I don't have a good time.
That does make me feel better.
I think people like to hear that, because like I think they think it's just all a big party, but they haven't been good since I've liked them. So maybe not quite Brown's bad, but it is not exactly.
When was the last time they won a Super Bowl, Carter?
Sometime in the 90s.
What is this Winnipeg? What is it? Blue Bombers that you just said?
Yeah. Well, we also moonlight as Bombs Away, the premier Blue Bombers podcast covering the CFL. So if you want to like and subscribe that one too.
You know, it's been a tough offseason for us, Carter. We've lost a few defensive players to the NFL. We lost our backup quarterback to the NFL, but we're still going to be competitive next year. Don't you worry. I don't feel like the Cavs rebuild is too bleak. Like we're really only year one into this. I don't feel like you get to say that. I do get to say that, because I'm talking about how I feel, and you're the pessimist of this podcast.
Pessimist?
Yeah.
This is math. You don't get to say 1 + 1 = 3 and then call me an optimist for saying no, it's not.
Listen, Carter, Kyrie's influence on me is still very, very present. I don't believe in math or science. This is year one.
You just got to ask questions, you know?
We've already drafted the next Kemba Walker and Darius Garland. We've drafted the next Jimmy Butler and Kevin Porter Jr. And Colin Sexton is Lou Williams, but with defense. So I'm very excited.
Ooh.
I'm excited with what's going on there.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
I do have to admit, though, getting Kevin Porter Jr. back it has helped the entertainment value of this team a lot in these last two games, because it was getting bleak there where Sexton was playing well. Sexton, I find, is almost equally entertaining in good and bad games, because I'm either really excited because he's blocking Zion and scoring 24 points, or he's just doing things that just you feel passionate about whatever he's doing on the court at all times, and I appreciate that. But with Garland playing just awful these last 2 weeks, having KPJ come back and do things and be exciting was a very, very, very welcome sight.
Yes, I'm very excited for him. When they drafted him, I did my research just to make sure. And I was on board. I was like, all right, I think I can get on board with this kid. And he has been so much fun to watch. So I'm very excited to see how he develops. He was a good choice.
Justin and I have talked about this a lot, but I do think, like, when your team isn't very good, you just need, like, something to pay attention to sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
And just tracking him on, like, 10 straight possessions, for good or bad, it's like, okay, I didn't waste my time today. Sometimes you're wasting your time, and it's depressing.
There are times where you get home, you rush to eat, and then I sit down in front of the TV, and I'm like, I rushed for this. This is what I've done to myself.
It's more just like, I'm barely paying attention to my wife right now for this. We don't have that much time together.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm doing. And soon it's going to be with my daughter. It's going to be even worse. The guilt's going to just get multiplied forward. So they better get good soon is the long and short of this.
At least I make up for ignoring her in evenings by taking her to vacations in Cleveland. And
there you go.
That's really the secret to any healthy marriage.
I gotta get like Cleveland more often.
She really liked Cleveland, actually.
Yay.
She's a craft beer snob, so it was very much in her lane, and beer and good food and good bars. And yeah,
I will die on the hill that Cleveland is like one of the most underrated cities in the country.
The Bachelor doesn't want you to believe that.
Yeah, the Bachelor is tough.
How did you guys become Cavs fans?
I'm from Columbus.
Okay.
So, like, that's it for me.
That makes sense.
So, that was always kind of my only option. I don't like college basketball at all. So, mm-hmm. It kind of was this or nothing.
And Winnipeg is very much Cleveland North. We finally won a championship in something this year, so that was kind mm-hmm. of nice. Broke my lifelong curse. But yeah, we're very, very similar. We are both cities lost their favorite sports team and then got it back. Curse sports history.
How many championships in a row did you guys make? Or something like that? There's some Bills-esque
We had lost like the last five appearances, so that wasn't great. That was not a lot of fun. It's been some tough years, and when I was growing up, we got a lot of Central Division games for the mm-hmm. NBA here, so I didn't want to root for the Bulls because Michael Jordan. I don't want to be a bandwagon hopper, and no one wants to root for Milwaukee or Indiana, and Cleveland had a young guy in LeBron and Carlos Boozer, I like. So I jumped on that.
You liked Carlos Boozer.
I unfortunately did. I
lied to a blind man.
Hey, that was before he lied to a blind man.
Justin, the secrets are coming out.
And then he became even more endearing to me.
The thing I like to say when I explain your existence to my friends is that Winnipeg is closer to Cleveland than it is to Toronto.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really good like buzz phrase that gets people on board.
Yeah, the only NBA city that's kind of close is Minneapolis. That's 6.5-hour drive, which I did like 2 weeks ago, and that wasn't a lot of fun. Speaking of drives and showing up, mm-hmm. when I came to Cleveland, Carter, mm-hmm. Brittany came out for drinks. My wife's a big fan of Brittany. We're all big fans of Brittany because she came out for drinks. Meanwhile, this guy did not.
Carter.
Listen, I had just gotten back. Listen, can I please defend myself?
You could try.
I had just gotten back at midnight the night before from an 8-day business trip in LA with my 37-week pregnant wife, mm-hmm. Who had been home alone. I owed her a little time.
What's a few more hours, Carter?
What's a few Seriously. More hours? Come on.
You missed out on a great time, Carter.
So I hear. Well, Justin and I still haven't met in real life after several years of being friends.
Really? Are you serious?
It's just not going to happen. I'm okay with it. I'm at peace.
I think it's better for the health of the podcast because...
What if we didn't like each other?
Yeah, exactly. We got this kind of chemistry going. We're a little grumpy with one another, but...
Wouldn't be the first internet hangout that turned awkward.
Yeah, 45 minutes is enough for us to hang out. Any longer than that, we might end up hating each other.
How do you guys know you're not catfishing each other?
Who's like, well?
Twitch.
Twitch. Yeah, we show videos.
Yeah,
videos that are for public and private consumption.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, spicy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the real sex line there.
Oh, don't.
So you would never ever wear a sex land shirt.
I mean, I would in support of you guys, of course, because we're all friends here.
I don't believe you.
But like, I would frown the whole time I was wearing it.
See, you say that, but then there literally is the option for you to get a sex lantern, and yet here you are.
I see no frowns, I see no shirts.
Not in possession of it.
My friends have them, though. They wear them proudly. They really, the whole Sexland thing really caught on. You guys did a good job with that. Unfortunately, it really caught on.
Anytime we do something and it catches on, it is still a little bit jarring to me.
That's no business. We have no business being tastemakers.
No, in no way, shape, or form.
Especially not in the Cleveland t-shirt economy.
Yeah. Listen, man,
I hear there's a really high barrier to entry to get into that.
You guys have a Cleveland t-shirt and I don't. What the heck?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we don't do any of the design work.
That's true. So, shout out to Blue Wire for supporting all of us. Getting this back on the tracks, because we do have a tendency to go off the rails sometimes. Brittany, when do you think it's reasonable to expect this thing to turn around for the Cavs? And what are you realistically hoping for some sort of ceiling for this team?
I'd say probably my timeline from the beginning has been at least 3 years. So, okay, you know, you got to give a time.
Well, we're about 2 months in per Justin's math. So.
No, you never know how these pieces are going to fit together. So anytime you draft anyone, you're taking a chance on something unknown. Cause you know, the transition from college to NBA is difficult, and you know, injuries and whatever, and especially with Cleveland, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but we're almost kind of like a cursed city where it's like anything that can go wrong will go wrong with pretty much everyone. So, you know, you got to account for that, put in a little extra time for, you know, that. And then also with the way the NBA is, it's going to be hard to get any kind of, you know, really good free agents to come to Cleveland, because even though we love it and we think that it's great, I can understand why, you know, NBA players wouldn't want to come here. We had a hard time getting people to come here when LeBron James was here. So, you know, take him out of the equation. And what are you going to do? You have to rely heavily on the draft. And it's just, you know, you're going to have to wait a while to see if any of this pans out. And it might not pan out at all, which is worst case scenario, but you got to at least try to believe in the plan that they have going.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be a little upset if we draft another guard this year, because then it feels like we're further away from kind of rounding out a roster. And I really do feel like this is going to be the summer where we start to learn what Kobe Altman wants to do when it comes to team building. This is going to be the first time there's really some flexibility. I'm assuming Kevin Love's going to be traded by the start of next season.
Think again, Buster.
Well, then I just really hope that he fits with Okongwu, who I'm really hoping the Cavs draft out of USC. I'm all aboard. Yeah.
That's a person I'm aware of.
Listen, Trevor already compared him to Bam Adebayo, which is all I really need in life.
That's all I need, incidentally.
When he told me that he could block shots like Rudy Gobert and finish like Clint Capella, I'm all the way in. And when he mentioned in our I almost said Fear the Sword Discord chat, in our Chase Down podcast Discord chat, that Darius Garland would probably be in strong contentions for the first overall pick if he was in college. I think that kind of lets you know where these guards are at in this draft. So let's go draft some defense, because I think the Cavs could use some, even though defense is for nerds.
It is for nerds.
And I believe in that team building philosophy, and I can't believe you're trying to stray from it. It's fine, but just know that you're kind of betraying everything you stand for. Mollis, I have a question for you. This is something I thought about when we were getting ready for the pod. Who finishes with an above 500 record next? The Cleveland Cavaliers or the Cleveland Browns?
Definitely the Browns. Because the Browns already have the pieces. They just need the coaching, right?
Okay. Who makes the playoffs next?
Browns.
Not as definite?
Again, it's Cleveland, so anything that can't go wrong usually does. But on paper, you know, the Browns are closer to achieving their plan than the Cavs are, which is fine. I still think the Cavs will get there. It's just going to take a little bit more time. But
I wonder how many times in history you've – because I agree with you, but I wonder how many times in history that's been the case.
That's a good question. They have good beards now, Carter. They have good beards on the sideline and in the front office. That's the, about the extent of my NFL.
It's a hot staff. Meanwhile, we got an octogenarian on the sidelines.
Hey, I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
How would you grade Kobe Altman? Do you like him? Do you think he's done a good job so far?
Carter, do you want to go first on that one?
Yeah, it's so hard because his first year of his career was beyond stupid and almost impossible to succeed in. And he certainly didn't succeed. The trades he made did not work. So you kind of, even though it's one of those things where on one hand you have to say most of the moves Kobe Altman makes are praised at the time. Mm-hmm. So you want to kind of give him that credit of, but then a lot of them haven't really worked out so great. So like on one hand, hindsight's 20/20, but on the other, you have to have some moves start working out here pretty soon. Like, you know, the Kyrie trade obviously didn't work. The Nance extension still feels a little too high. Jetty feels good. He's doing fine. I would say he's a C+, and that's with an actual grading system where like a C+ isn't the worst thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Austin,
what about you?
I like him. What I do like with Kobe Altman is he kind of has that grift thing where when he makes trades, it's never just like a player for a pick. There's always some extra little tweaks here and there.
This is a good point.
Extra little protections. He seems to extract the maximum value in a lot of these deals. I really like him trading the veterans that they did have last year and getting so many picks and then cashing in some of those second round picks to get Kevin Porter Jr. I thought that was a really smart decision. Obviously, as Carter said, those first year trades didn't really work out. The one thing I will say is that I still think without those deadline deals, the Cavs don't make the finals. It was a really, really thin margin. And Isaiah Thomas wasn't able to finish the year, and George Hill was big against Boston and as well as Indiana. So I think injuries were just kind of one of the biggest issues with those deals not panning out. But as I said before, I really do feel like next year is going to be the first year where we kind of learn what his identity is as a general manager, kind of get a feel for what he believes in from a team building standpoint. We still don't know what the deal is going to be with John Boeheim. We don't really have a great grasp on what he is as a coach yet. Mm-hmm. But I kind of have to feel with all this time he spent with David Griffin and the way that they have talked about prioritizing veterans that we're going to see something similar to New Orleans where, yeah, we don't have the same prospects as them. I don't think we have a Brandon Ingram, let alone a Zion Williamson. But I do think
we don't even have a George Hill.
Exactly. But I do think that they are going to prioritize making sure there are adults in the locker room and guys that can help the young guys develop, which is team building in the NBA. People always kind of debate what the best way to go about it is. And that's something that I always really believe in. I think establishing a culture is important because you may not be able to turn yourself into a glamour market. But you can change the perception of yourself as a well-run organization. And that's really my biggest hope when it comes to the Cavs.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
and I will continue believing that we are headed in that direction. Even if it's crazy to me that we're a week away from the trade deadline and there is a possibility that Kevin Love is moved. Like that is still kind of surreal to me. I know the attention has been taken off of the trade deadline, justifiably so, with the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant. Yeah. It's really weird to have constant updates on my phone. I was talking about this in the Discord chat, but every couple seconds, Woj or Sham is tweeting out like a player's name, and I'm like, holy crap, is it a trade? But it's them changing numbers on their jersey. So it's going to be weird. If Kevin Love is gone next week, this team, even with his bad attitude, is going to suck pretty bad.
You know it's going to be weirder, though?
I don't know if it's going to be weirder.
Ridley, no, what do you know what's going to be weirder?
Oh.
You're a terrible listener.
I really am.
And you really
he got a massage, Carter. All right, he's in his own world now.
Well, you really threw off the timing of my joke because I was going to say, you know what's going to be weirder when he's not traded and he's throwing a playing in protest by sitting at midcourt. But it's fine.
He's going to be sitting at midcourt with his hands up. He's going to go full D on Waiters.
It's like the anti-Andrew Bynum.
I keep trying to pitch to Heat fans, hey, Justice Winslow has basically not even played all year. He's been out the last 2 months, and look how good you are. You can part with him. Come on. Let's get that Kevin Love trade done. Brittany, what are you hoping to see with Love? Are you kind of ready to move on from that experience?
I am, and mostly because, like, I like Kevin Love. I always have. And you can tell that he's not happy. And I can't blame him, you know. Well, actually, I kind of can't. He signed up for this, right? Like, he was the one that was like, yeah, give me this extension. I'm here for it. And people say, well, he didn't know. He knew that this
If we're not that surprised that they suck, Kevin Love should be pretty fucking
exactly. Like, he wanted the money, and he got the money. But, you know, now he wants out. And I would hate to see this end in it because the fans love him. Like, we love him so much. So I hate to see this end in a negative way. I think what would be best for everyone is, you know, trade him to a contender if you can. But I think that's going to be the hard part.
Yeah.
That's a big contract, and he's hurt all the time, and I don't I don't think they're going to do it. I think he's going to be here.
It's not easy. It's not easy to find a spot for him. Even if he's not gone, there is going to be some trades. Like, Kobe Altman is never inactive as a general manager. And when you have this many expiring guys, I think there's also the possibility maybe there's going to be some buyouts as well. But the team is definitely going to look different. And the whole, well, Kevin Love didn't know what he was signing up for. Well, the Cavs didn't expect him to get hurt 4 games in the season. And at that point, it's not really a decision. When Love is out until the middle of February, you're not going to be good. You're not going to be good when you've already lost Kyrie, you've already lost LeBron, and now Love is gone and Tristan got hurt. That team, there was no world where that team was a move away from being competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, for sure.
It's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but I do think we're all ready for Love to move, even if the return is underwhelming. You know, ideally it's not just like a Love for Whiteside salary dump. But I really do think, like, I do wonder, even if he's not traded, if in March he pulls a quad or something,
there's going to be a fake injury if he's here.
Yeah, I'm throwing up the quotation marks, and I think they're going to find a way to send him home.
Maybe he'll do a JR, or he'll just like stop coming.
By the way, Justin, I've been meaning to dunk on you about this for a long time. And I keep forgetting to. When he first got sent away, I said, I think this is the last time we're ever going to see J.R. Smith in an NBA uniform. And you're like, no way. I don't think so. He's going to land somewhere. Well, my friend, Carter. I was right about a thing that happened a year and a half ago.
Well,
there you go.
Half a year by my math, and there is still
46 hours.
There is still a post-deadline reality where JR might latch on. You never know, Carter.
Can't rule it out.
Teams are always looking for a vet. Look what happened with Dante Jones. He keeps coming back from the dead somehow.
JR's never going to get that yoked.
No. I still love the year where Dante Jones lost more money playing in the NBA than he made with the fines.
Our hero, NBA Finals hero, Dante Jones. That and one gave me life.
Yeah. You know what? That title team, as much as I love the core, there are some weird guys on that team that I'm just so happy I have a championship. Like, I think still one of my favorite pictures from the championship is Mo Williams holding the trophy and a cigar in his mouth. Like, the fact that Mo Williams was back to win that title just still brings me so much joy.
Mo, I was actually when Simmons on Book of Basketball 2.0, they did a rewatchables for Game 7, and so I found myself watching some clips. Sasha Khan, man, hanging out on the bench, celebrating.
You know what?
He earned it. He's better than Michael Jordan. Won a title.
Yeah, one. He was one for one. He has never been in the NBA and not won a championship. So shout out to Sasha Kahn. Brittany, before we wrap this up, rapid fire questions here. Kevin Love retiring his jersey?
Yes.
What about Tristan Thompson?
Yes.
An extension for Tristan Thompson, or do you trade him, or do you let him walk?
I would want to extend him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now the biggest one. Are you now pro sex land?
I am pro you guys. Aww. I am not pro sex land.
I don't like the way you said it. Sexland.
Yeah.
Sexland.
Is that like a regional thing? What's going on there? You guys explain this to me.
You know, Justin, I have a question. You don't sound like you're Canadian.
Oh, he does. Thank when he you. Says against.
Ugh.
Against? What?
I'm against your... There's,
is
there's
that really
wrong.
How you say it?
That is really how he says it.
Oh, my gosh. All right, never mind. I take everything back.
Oh, God.
And then, wait till you hear about tomato sandwiches or whatever the fuck.
Oh, toasted tomato sandwiches! Don't even get me started. What a
those?
Delicacy!
Please tell me about those.
Oh, well, it's a struggle meal, but it's a tasty one. You got to get a Kraft single in there. You butter one side, Miracle Whip the other. Put some tomatoes in there, a little salt and pepper, and you're golden.
Just a foul sandwich that apparently is very popular in Canada.
Is it?
I've ever heard of one.
Well, how about that? You know what? I know what I'm talking about. It's a good struggle meal. Throw a little bacon in there, and you
again.
Got your...
Now you're just having a grilled cheese,
and you
that's not a tomato sandwich.
Throw some bacon in there, and you have yourself a stew. How about that?
Yeah, that was. Probably the most contentious we've ever been of me just screaming at Justin that's not a thing.
You know what? Don't knock it till you try it. I'll make you some if you ever make it up here, Carter.
Well, God knows that's not happening, but if you come down here.
For that Columbus Blue Jackets Winnipeg Jets Stanley Cup final. Brother. Which will never, ever happen.
Yeah.
Brittany, thank you so much for coming on here, even though you will not support our causes.
I still support you. I support you.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. don't make me linger on it. Thank you so much for supporting us. If you guys want to support Brittany, you can do so by subscribing to the That's What B Said podcast. Same thing that you do with us, which is leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to support the Chase Down podcast directly, you can subscribe to our premium feed. Just 99 cents for the first month. $5 a month after that. Give it a shot. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of any reviews that you leave for the podcast to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to that. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. So thanks again to Brittany. Thanks to Carter. Thanks to all of our listeners. And until next time, go Cavs.